Today, Support Your Parks Weekend has come and gone, skydiving, and a bit of radio. We're going to share with you on the next Live Free and Ham. Hello, and welcome to the Live Free and Ham podcast. This is our bi-weekly show during which we discuss ham radio topics in New Hampshire, New England, and beyond. So whether you're a regular listener or first-time guest, we are excited to have you here and appreciate the support. And thanks again for tuning in today's episode. So let's get into the show. As always, I'm your host, Eric N1JUR. Ooh, love that call sign. And I'm with my co-hosts.
Hey, it's Paul, N1OG.
And your favorite host, still the general, the only general on this podcast, W1STJ Todd.
Hey, I want to point out Carlos is still, Carlos was a general. But there's a few other people that I know that were complaining that Carlos was in the extra portion of the band during Support Your Parks weekend, and they couldn't make contact with them. So, you know, you're not alone.
Carlos is only a general?
No, he's an extra. It was the people that were trying to get a hold of him because they're like, come over to the general side, please.
he was going, I got it.
Yeah. There's many more generals out there than there are extras, apparently.
Yeah, so, but not the alone. People I'm not the people I'm hanging out with.
Well, hey, you know, we still love you, Todd. Yeah. All right, well, as always. Yeah, hey, you will be an extra, I promise, come hell or high water, or when get your extra, you know, season starts in January. Hopefully you get your extra before that, but if we're there, we'll talk. All right, well, so as always, before we get into our topics, we got a few things we want to catch up on. Our storefront on livefreeandham.com/shop has got a bunch of new merchandise. We've gonna replace the shirt that when is Paul going to jump someday? Well, someday is already come and gone by the time you hear this episode. He has officially launched himself out of a plane, happily screaming, I'm flying all the way down, and enjoying every minute of it. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. But, you know, we are going to be replacing that shirt, and a bunch more stuff is coming. I guarantee you want to make sure you stay tuned to our storefront. And make sure you go over there and check out some of the new stuff that we're coming out with. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. And as always, we want to thank everybody who has purchased from our storefront. We know a bunch of folks in the past that we've shared. They shared bought hats, bought t-shirts. And so we all thank you for your support and appreciate you guys help supporting Live Free and Ham. You know, it helps keep this mission alive. So as always, we love feedback. We love good. We love bad. We love indifferent. We love the ugly. And you can always send us a review both on our Apple Podcasts, or the way easier way to do it and platform agnostic is using our SMS link in all of our show notes. Just by clicking that, you can send us a text message. And for with that, you know, we can go right into our favorite segment.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Everybody, we got some news.
Slow down, Boog. Let me handle this. We've got some news. I've got bad news and bad news.
I have reviewed ship's personnel, Captain.
Congratulations, you've got mail.
All right.
Yes, we do.
So we got a mail from Portland, Oregon. That's not anywhere near New England. But the review says, I'm not sure how I got the unlisted special bonus polo episode, but I enjoyed it. Chris, KU7PDX. Well, Chris, we thought you were a very special listener listening to us all the way from Portland, Oregon. So we slipped it into for you to get a preview of it. So thanks for watching it, and we're glad you liked it.
Oh, Todd is so nice. The idiot here, as I'm pointing, if you're watching the video stream, can't schedule things properly. And so 27 special listeners, I think, got a copy of an episode that released earlier than it should.
Thanks cool. for the review. It's awesome. Just for the record, you're the third review we've gotten, and we very much like them. So please send us more. We want to hear about how we're doing, what we can do and improve, and keep them coming.
Totally. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Well, good with that. You heard Todd there. You know, use our SMS link in our show notes, and you can make easy connections with us, and we will read the next review or comment or feedback, or, you know, ways to improve on our next live show. So, all right, with that, let's dive into our next segment here.
Doing good.
Good.
Doing good.
You do. That's good.
Do good. Do good.
You're doing good.
Good. Good. Good.
Absolutely, I do. Good. Good.
Doing good, Bob. Doing real good.
And right now, my only outlet is my ham radio.
Apparently it is. So, well, we always talk about this great segment we do in our podcast here every episode. And we like to take a different spin. You know, we always felt that when you ask, you know, other hams about certain clubs and joining them or participating in certain modes or frequencies or whatever be the flavor, there's always going to be someone with a bad taste about something, a sad ham, or someone that doesn't want to share the good of why they got into the hobby and, you know, how amazing it is. So we're turning that on its ear and we're looking at it as like our do-good episode. So we want to hear from people. We want to hear from you, our listeners. We want to hear the good stuff that's going on. Did you do something during Support Your Parks weekend? Or maybe you did a POTA meetup, or maybe you did something with your club, you know, on a Zoom meeting or whatever. And you thought that was just really cool to do. Well, we wanted you to share that with us and share that with the world to know that there's stuff out there that is happening in the hobby. And it's good stuff. It's not the, all the doom and gloom that we hear and we listen on QRZ and everywhere else and any other podcast. So with that, I have to pause because my heart hurts. Nobody sent anything in.
My Winlink inbox is empty.
No good going on in ham radio.
It is horrible. So now we have to inflict some torture. Not that it's torture. We love it because we love our club. So we're going to share some do-goods of our club until you guys decide to get off your butts and share some good on your clubs. So if you're getting tired of hearing about the Grand State Amateur Radio Club, well, tough luck because we love talking about them. And so we're going to share with you an event that kind of already come and gone, but we loved doing it. We want to thank some of our great club members to organizing it and getting it off the ground. So Support Your Park weekend was in the late October. All right, guys. Yeah. Right around the, you know, well for us, this recording goes out, you know, we'll be way late, but you know, John, we had a club member, John KB1ICL. He stepped up, said he wanted to help out and, you know, start doing stuff with, you know, ham radio and our POTA meetups. And so he took the fall, you know, opportunity for the meetup and schedule it during Support Your Parks weekend. But damn, man, he stepped it up. He said, we're going to camp out all weekend. And everybody who are the diehard POTA guys, Paul being one of them, I'm the, you know, the guy who bailed out. I should have stayed over and slept over the weekend. But, you know, sorry, me.
I didn't even go.
Right.
I did bad.
But with that, man, you know, so you missed out on a good weekend. I got at least a chance to go to the meetup. And I know that when I got there, we were at the Bear Brook Pavilion. Great park, great state park. We had about 14 hams there, a bunch of public asking, you know, hey, what's this radio all about? And a bunch of guys and gals all listening and talking about ham radio. And I made a ton of contacts. I mean, I was on 20. I know I saw Paul on Ham Alert for he's got photos. If you're in the live stream, if you're in the video YouTube channel, you can see some of the photos there. Yeah, we had a blast. I mean, Paul got a chance to camp, Tim and a few others. He can share some of his experience here a little bit, you know, what he thought. But I don't know. I thought it was a blast. What was your take on that, Paul?
Yeah, no, I had a ton of fun. And for those that can see the picture, I wore my POTA bow tie. And I think all in all, I probably was well over 200 contacts.
Wow.
I was close to 100 single sideband. And then I worked FT8 till about 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I saw that. I was trying to get you from bed. I'm like, I got to get him on 20. Oh, damn, he jumped to 40. I got to switch brands.
and Tim, one of our members, KC1QDK, he announced today on our net that he activated the park on CW. So I think he said that was his second activation at a park on CW. So.
Yeah, that's his second successful activation.
That's awesome for Tim. He's really dived into the CW and glad he was able to activate it. Sound like you guys had a lot of fun. Unfortunately, I had a doubleheader and wasn't happening this weekend. As every Support Your Parks weekend, I have some baseball thing. And now baseball's over and there's no more Support Your Parks until what, the winter?
Next quarter. Yeah.
No, so maybe. Hey, they're Team Yaesu. I just got to say, all right, that from Team ICOM, I was looking at Tim's radio, right? And he's got the, what, it's a Yaesu.
DX10.
Okay.
Yep.
So he was showing me that the radio will decode the Morse signals, mm-hmm. and it'll show you the letters on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. Yaesu. That's freaking cool.
Yeah. It is pretty cool. Except when we had, who was the one that one field day when they
used incredible.
When she used, she's who's
Anna from CW. Yeah.
Anna. So she took my radio and she does awesome CW and she set it all up. And when I got it back, I'm like, what was wrong with my radio? I had no idea. I had to like factory reset it.
It was in a foreign language. He couldn't figure out CW like, and how it got there.
I'm like, how do I do sideband? But no, that's it. That is a kind of cool feature that it'll decode it for you.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive. I have to applaud both you, Paul, and Tim for, you know, picking up the rest of us club slack and, you know, getting out there and operating full entire weekend. John too as well. I know John probably had his set up there and he was probably banging out the sideband contacts and whatnot. So, you know, it was great to see the bands were live. I think I saw at least 136 spots at one time just on the 20 meter band at, like in the middle of Saturday. It was insane how many like stations were out there and available.
So now we know why Carlos was on the extra portion of the bands.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. He couldn't find a spot on 20 meters.
the bands were packed, but I'll tell you, 10 meters was phenomenal.
Dude, I was impressed
with that. I got on 10 meters Saturday morning. Now, you could have started Friday night after 8 p.m. Eastern because that was the proper UTC time. And kudos to John because John started Friday night. I didn't get going until Saturday morning. I stayed on 10 meters 90% of the time because it was just wide open. I was getting all kinds of DX. It was just fantastic.
That's my favorite band for POTA when it's
well. Open. You and Ralph, man, because Ralph set up his Chinese radio. You know, expected. You know, he had his G90 there. That was my first foray. Like Ralph didn't have like this is he was a we'll say a virgin POTA activator, so he didn't quite know what he was doing. So he was just on 10 meters the whole entire time hunting them. And just making contacts, not like looking for park numbers and stuff like that. And so when I sat down and said, here, this is how, you know, you can do it. He was just like, that's really all I have to do. I'm like, yeah, dude, they just come to you. And he was just like, oh, well then that's easy. That's no problem whatsoever. And so like, literally, I think after I stepped away for a little while and I had literally banged out 15 to 20 contacts on 10 meters in 15 minutes. I mean, it was Europe all the way. I mean, Germany, Finland, you know, Spain, the whole nine yards. And it was just like five nines and I'm on 20 watts. Like I was like, put it this way. It inspired me to take my QRP rig with me up to Maine, which I'll talk about a little later. The next day, which was a fiasco, but that was another issue altogether. but I was psyched to go play QRP. So that was awesome to be inspired by that.
Let's just say we have one member of this podcast that's super prepared, always prepared. And another member that seems to not always be prepared.
I pretend.
and you can just say I'm kind of in the middle.
Yep.
Well, I will say this though, just a note of advice for every married ham radio operator out there. If your wife decides to pick an argument as you're getting ready to pack for the weekend, just agree. Don't argue. Don't get all flustered and frustrated because mm-hmm. then you forget all the creature comforts that will make your weekend great. Like, so it was very, very nice during the day. It was, what, like 73, 74 during the day, but then it was like 36 at night. Mm-hmm. I forgot my cot. Oh. I forgot the extra big sleeping bag. I forgot all of the like creature comfort things. And so I was freezing my ass off in my military sleeping bag system And now it's a one person sleeping bag. And one person it fits tight in the sleeping bag. But I was so cold that I grabbed Watson and I pulled him into the sleeping bag with me.
Watson was like, I'm not at
work. He's still resourceful, man. He's still resourceful even after he forgets the stuff. I just threw up the white flag.
Yeah. So word of advice there, you know, always make peace with the wife before you pack.
Yeah. Or pack like months in advance or weeks in advance. All right. Well, so that's kind of our do good segment. So I hope that inspires you guys again to get out and send us, you know, either via SMS link, an email to livefreeandham@gmail.com. Or, you know, if you are so inspired, we still have the challenge out there. You can send Paul, N1OG, a Winlink message with your, you know, do good segment. And we will gladly invite you on the show in our next live stream if you want to come on. If not, we'll just read it. No big deal. You know, let us know in the, you know, in your message there. But either way, we want to showcase, you know, the good that's happening in ham radio and not give any of those lids or bad actors any ground whatsoever to stand on. All right. Whew. Okay, so as we segment into...
And now for something a little extra with Todd W1STJ.
Well, you've heard it here. This is where we help Todd, as always, study for his extra classic license. In each episode, we pick three questions from the extra classic question pool to test his knowledge, hoping he gets his upgrade. Whew. All right. Well, if you'd like to follow along, you can head over to hamstudy.org, which is a great resource and helps you prepare to test and is recommended by 3 out of VE examiners. Again, the ARL was not around to comment at the time of our survey. So without any further delay, Paul, our VE Quizmaster, take it away.
All right, Todd. So we're sticking with sub-element number 4 because you haven't achieved proficiency there and you're not ready to move on to 5 yet.
No, and I don't even recognize this question, but go ahead.
I don't either, so we're in the same boat.
It said I've seen all of them. I don't believe I've seen this one, but let's go for it.
All right. Well, question number 1. What does the MDS of a receiver represent? Is it A, the minimum discernible signal, B, the maximum detectable spectrum, C, the meter display sensitivity, or D, the modulation distortion specification?
All right, this is a complete guess. I'm going to go with A.
All right, Eric.
Oh, man.
Are you pulling this from the newest one or are these from the old questions?
No, this is the current question pool.
I don't remember.
I am going to go with A.
Ooh.
Okay, so you're both agreeing on A.
Mm-hmm. Although I think
and A is correct. Woohoo!
All right.
Great job.
Good. One for one there, Todd. Let's go. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah. All right. And just to explain the answer, according to Modern Communication Circuits, which was written by Jack Smith and McGraw-Hill in 1998, page 82, the MDS is the minimum detectable signal or minimal discernible signal by definition. And you can also check out the minimum detectable signal on Wikipedia.
And the hint, you receive a signal.
When your S meter moves.
All right. Question number 2. What causes intermodulation in an electronic circuit? Is it A, positive feedback? B, nonlinear circuits or devices? C, lack of neutralization, or is it D, negative feedback?
All right.
And as always, I don't know is not an option.
Even though it's there, I'm going to go with B.
Eric?
Yeah. Linearity.
So you're going with B as well?
I am.
And B is correct.
Look at me.
Great job.
All right. According to Wikipedia, intermodulation is caused by nonlinear behavior of the signal processing being used. So for memorization, the question and the answer have the words circuit and circuits mentioned.
Is Wikipedia the best way to define stuff? Because are we sure it's correct?
I never trust Wikipedia. Well,
that's all right.
It should be correct.
Yeah, it should be.
Aren't those like right. user submitted answers?
All right, Eric, we got to get this. I got to get this one right, or I got to hear this song.
I know, right?
So, for the third and final question of the evening, which of the following can cause shielded cables to radiate or receive interference? Is it A, common mode currents on the shield and conductors? B, low inductance ground connections at both ends of the shield? C, tying all ground connections to a common point resulting in differential mode currents in the shield? Or is it D, use of a braided shielding material? Now, I got full faith in you, Todd. You're going to go 100% tonight.
I'm going to go A.
No pressure.
All right, Todd chooses A. What do you say, Eric?
Yeah, it's common mode.
You're going with
A. It is, in fact, common mode current.
Perfect!
Woohoo! Awesome.
And so for the explanation, tip, to radiate, there has to be current conducting somewhere. All answers have shield, but only the correct answer mentions currents and conductors. Good currents flow from a source out to a load and back through the same cable to return to the source. This is called differential mode current. The current going out and coming back is in balance and sustained safely within the shield, and can neither radiate out nor be affected by the noise coming in. However, common mode current flows on the outside of the shield. Since the shield is a single conductor, something else needs to be there to complete the circuit, usually through your safety earth connection or somewhere else that is undesirable. This unintended circuit occupies a big area, which makes a nice loop antenna to radiate and absorb noise. So the other three options are good practice to prevent ground loops and other noise problems and prevent, not cause, radiated interference.
Nice.
Nice job.
What will he do next?
Nice.
Congratulations.
Job, yes. Awesome. All right. Well, dude, that was 100% for this evening and well on the way to, you know, getting your extra as always, as I lost my place here.
I wish you could take the test in sections. Like I could just take section one, pass it, take section two, pass it, take section three, how long that would pass take? It. Well, I'd be halfway done or almost halfway done.
Our poor technicians would be like, when do I get to actually get my license? All right. Well, so with that, you know, if you're on your journey to studying for technician general or extra class license, in that case, hamstudy.org is an excellent resource for getting your ticket. And if you recently received your license or upgrade, we want to know. I am serious about this. So if you've gotten your ticket and you are a subscriber and a listener to Live Free and Ham, and you're working towards getting your ticket and you've gotten your upgrade, send us a quick email, livefreeandham@gmail.com, or use our SMS link. Just let us know you got it, and we'll be gladly to share your call sign, share in your excitement, and celebrate with you, because it is an awesome recognition to be able to get your upgrade to the next class license. And then once you get extra, you know, you're done, dude. At that point, you've worked the mastery of license to learn. You know, now the sky's the limit in terms of like trying to actually figure it all out.
And then we're gonna have to then get someone to replace me to keep doing the something.
No, we'll change the segment or something. I don't know. We won't replace Todd. So all right,
we'll have to add someone. Getting your check.
So that's how we keep the show going. All right. Okay. Well, so in our usual format, if there's such a thing with our show, let's go around. Hey guys, what's been going on in your ham radio week, Paul? How we'll start with you. How's your ham radio week been?
Oh man. Well, it's been a whirlwind. There's been a lot going on. I've been doing a lot of hunting at different parks and things, and you know, just kind of jumping on the radio, grabbing whatever I can find. Support Your Parks Weekend obviously was fantastic. And for those that don't know, and I suppose we'll discuss it further later. I finally was able to leap out of the plane and view the big sky from the big sky, and oh man, it was that was amazing. I can't wait. Oh, dude, I can't wait till spring.
Yeah. Well,
I'm hooked.
Well, when we get into that section, just for the record, I tried to get there, but I saw your ass on the ground. And I just missed it. Very disappointed. Oh, and dude, I was hauling.
It went so fast. It was like you know, you lead up to Christmas and all the like anticipation build up for like weeks on end, and then you're like, literally the day shows up and it's just like, what happened? It disappeared. It's all done. I heard him yell. It's over. That was it. He's done.
You texted me and you said, oh, he's getting in the plane in 4 minutes. I was already in my car and I'm like, all right, I'm out of here. I'm already there. I'm 10 minutes away. And literally I didn't hit any lights. There's like four of them, and oh wow.
Yeah, good shots.
Nice. I mean,
you're gonna have to pay attention to Paul's channel for sure when he gets that video released. There's gonna be a lot of views on that one.
So yeah, but yeah, congratulations, and it was awesome.
So because I was at the park on Friday, I wasn't able to take part physically, personally in the New England Northeast? Sorry, I always get that.
Oh wrong. Yeah, near.
It's the Northeast ham radio. I blanked on where I was going with this.
It's okay.
Well, yeah, anyways, something was mentioned on the live stream and it was like, oh yeah, I wanted to bring it up, and it's gone. It's gone.
Just cut us off at the knees when you remember it, it pops in your head, because you know, so old guys, we're the same way. We suffer from CRS as always, so we can't remember shit. That's the way it goes. All right. Well, as Paul's recalling from memory there and taking a little Cialis or whatever he needs to be able to boost his brain function, Todd, how's your ham radio week going?
Oh, it was terrible. Absolutely terrible. I did not get to do Support Your Parks Weekend. And I was very disappointed in that, because I was planning on it. I had a baseball game, and the plan was get that game out of the way and head over there and hang out afterwards and make it a good day out of it. And we had weather last week, and our game got canceled, so we had to make it up. So I had an 11 o'clock game and a 3:30, which wasn't going to fit into me doing Support Your Parks. So I did miss it. Kids played well, though. It was glad it was our last two games, so I couldn't really skip it, because that would have been bad as the head coach to not show up for their last two games. Yeah. So I haven't done much ham radio, and like I said earlier, I miss Paul jumping, even though I was going there and he just jumped too fast. And there's two other groups that I got to see jump, but he could have just waited a second and do the second group. But he
must it's have all been your excited. Fault, Paul.
He must have been excited, but I will tell you this. I've never seen this man smile so much. Like, he just was glowing when he came. Like, he was like, you know, like the kid getting the Red Ryder BB gun. Like, he was pumped.
Way more than that, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was good to see, and well-deserved, and it's going to be fun watching him go through his journey of jumping out of airplanes, and I will be as many as I can. Now. Go ahead. He remembers. Go ahead, Ball.
All right. So on the Northeast ham radio live stream, Walt was talking about how you know that you've made it when you get people writing mean comments.
Yep. Okay.
All right. So for the first time ever, I'm getting mean comments on my videos.
Oh, okay. We're in the presence of royalty now.
Who was it? Was it Walt?
No, dude. There's four different people that left mean comments on my Nearfest video because they didn't like the music. So when the skydiving video comes out, let me tell you, I am going to put the most obnoxious heavy metal music to that video. And I hope everybody fucking enjoys it.
Just make sure your audio is lower than the volume of the music. That's always a good seller.
That's awesome. So back to my other ham radio. So one of the moms, while we were doing the Near live podcast, had texted me asking if I could take her son from the first game to the second game because there's a time gap and we're doing pizza in between. So I said, yeah, sure. She had to pick up her other son, you know, just kind of carpooling. But she texted me and I didn't respond to her until after the live stream was off. And then I saw her at the game and I said, hey, you know, I'm sorry it took me so long, but I was doing a podcast. She goes, oh, your wife told me. She goes, and she gives me, and I forget what her call sign was, like N1, blah, blah. And I'm like, you're a ham? Holy crap. She goes, well, I am, but I'm not practicing. I haven't done it since high school. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, guess what? I said, check out our podcast because I'm going to need you to be on it when we do the why else thing. And she says, I'll do it. I said, okay. Well, you're going to probably get harassed about why you're not doing it and why you should get back to doing it. So, it was pretty cool to find another person who is, you'd never know, is licensed and not practicing, but started to get a little interest in it. So maybe we'll snag her into the hobby again.
You should rope her into a POTA.
Yeah. That's what I told her. Yeah. I said, you got to do POTA. So, you know, bring her son and Zach to go and show her how it's done. And maybe I'll bring my wife and maybe she'll get into it. But that's probably unlikely going to happen.
Good luck with that one.
she still makes fun of me. I mean, you know, I'm probably the only guy in the world that can't wait for like all communications to freaking shit the bed because I'm going to be like, ha, now you need me. You want to know what's going on? How about that radio,
honey? I can't communicate with you.
Yeah. Oh, I know what's going on now. Paul's been updating me. Eric's been updating me. Europe's been updating me. What do you have? Right. Nothing.
I can't remember, honey. I can't remember what they were telling me. You know, something important about fire or something. I don't know. Well,
she to be on the fair side, she does promote our thing. She does tell her friends. She posts it on different Facebook things and any opportunity she does. So she does a good job with that. But I think it's just more she likes giving me digs. But I think deep down, she thinks it's kind of cool.
Awesome. They do, actually, because my wife actually asked me when we went up to Maine today, and I'll talk about it in a second, but we went up to Maine today. She's like, did you bring a radio? And I had to kind of like quietly go, yeah, I did. And she's like, you mean in the truck? I'm like, no, I brought a separate radio. she's like, and then she was like, there was a little couple like at Agmetidus that we were activating. Like I was like, I got to wait for a bench. And she like went over to the little couple that was sitting there. I mean, these are like 70-year-old people. She's like, are you almost done? Because my husband needs this bench. I was like, oh gosh. Like, she's already.
Can you move along, please?
I know. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. My husband needs to make 10 contacts. Move along.
Oh my God.
Well, cool. Well, it's a bummer you didn't do a lot of radio, but it sounds like you still made some you know, good inroads for folks that were inactive hams and, you know, maybe come, you know, active again. That's cool.
Yeah, and I was at the field today, and I left the repeater on, and one of the guys, he goes, your car's talking. It sounds like there's people talking on a radio. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the ham radio. Let me tell you all about it.
There we go. Nice job.
And Bob Cushman, the guy that he used to, his father created Cushcraft, and he's 90 years old, and he's a ham, and he was at the field, and he always asked me how things are going, how's the podcast going, and how's ham radio going, so... He's not active, but he still's got his license, and he keeps asking how things are going. And I tell him, I said, listen, I go, your antennas, you know, are high. He didn't even know MFJ was going out of business. And I don't know what they're doing with Cushcraft antennas, like if they're going to sell it off or what.
Yeah, they probably will.
But And he used to, he goes, yeah, MFJ. He goes, that's just mighty fine junk. That's what he calls it.
That's what everybody does. That's monk gear.
But he's a great guy. He flies the model airplanes, got a car collection, and he's just generally just a good man. And it's fun talking to him. And he asks me every time I see him, you know, how's it going? And it's nice to talk to someone like that who is, I think, glad that the hobby's still going, that people like us are still into it. So it's good.
Very cool. That's awesome. Totally cool. All right. Well, you know, I'll let you do the honors, Paul. Go ahead.
Eric, how was your ham radio wave, bud?
Well, Paul, just like you, you know, we had Sports Parks weekend, and it was a weekend full of a lot of radio. I was kind of surprised. I mean, Friday to pretty much today, which is Sunday as we're recording, a lot of radio existed throughout the day, which I was like, you know, usually when I do these POTA meetups, it's like we do a little 4 or 5 hours, and that's probably the extent of it. But yeah, we did Sports Parks weekend. I know Paul talked a little bit about the camping side of it and all of his activations, and I saw him pop up on Ham Alert like there was no tomorrow. My phone was just going nuts with everybody, you know, on Sports Parks weekend. But we had about 14 people show up to the POTA meetup, which was totally awesome. I got to meet AC1 RH, Keith, and he's cool dude, awesome little setup. He's got a freaking phenomenal antenna that I showed Paul that he was like totally like wide-eyed. It's like, this is a real cool antenna. So I'm looking forward to kind of hanging out with him more and doing some stuff. And, you know, we should, you know, rope him in to, you know, do a little bit of Porta Pox, because he was sharing some of his tips and tricks. And he was, I mean, for someone who is, you know, like myself, I tend to spend most of my time on 10 and 20. You know, I very rarely go to 15 or 17 or 12. He was literally up and down the band on every frequency. You know, he's like, oh, I got 34 contacts, 40 contacts. I'm like, is that all on 20? He's like, no, that's on 12. That's on 10. That's on 15, 17. And I mean, this is like all in the middle of the day. So he was just like all over the map and making a lot of great contacts. So I was pretty psyched for him.
You know, he's so into POTA, like he found a park near his house, like in Massachusetts, that no one ever activated it. Not only activating, is he the first to activate it? He gets a kilo on it.
Yeah.
Before anyone else activates it. Like he's hardcore.
Totally. Yeah. And he's awesome. He's a good guy. So I'm glad he's part of our club and hanging out, and, you know, good to have a guy in the POTA ranks. So I'm sure we'll have him on in the future, and, you know, have him share some of his POTA experiences, would be really cool. I know, some of the our hidden gems, Paul's Park and stuff like that, I've been introducing to, you know, him a little bit and teasing, saying, hey, you know, you want to come to the really cool sites, you know, follow us. And so, you know, that was fun. But all that said is, like, so Sunday rolls around, we go to Maine, and, you know, my wife loves to go to Maine to go to the beach. So I figured, you know, this is ham radio off. No ham radio whatsoever. And so I snuck in my QRP bag. Because on Saturday, I got a chance to play with a G90. Never played with one before. Was pretty impressed with it. I mean, nice little 20-watt rig. You know, I would buy it if I didn't have the FX4CR. But, you know, hey, it's kind of like toe-to-toe a little bit in terms of same, you know, functionality. But I loved it. I mean, we were talking 10 meters solely with it, and we were making a lot of contacts. But I got to show Ralph real quick how to do a POTA activation, because he'd never done it before. And so he was pretty excited to see all that. But yeah, Sunday I brought my QRP rig with me, went up to Mount Aggie up in Maine. I was all set to do a QRP activation, and me and my stupidity, I threw in the bag. Oh, I forgot to throw in the bag a throw weight. So I had no way of throwing my line over a tree. I secondly grabbed the wrong transformer ballon. So I brought my dipole, but I only brought the end fed wire. So there's no way I could create another end to my dipole transformer, the ballon. So instead of having an end fed Reliance antenna ballon in the bag, I had just the dipole version. So I finally, my wife comes up the ingenious way. She's like, hey, why don't you just use your water bottle to throw over the limb? And I'm like, great. All I need to do is get my water bottle stuck up in the tree, but it worked. I got it over the tree and I got the wire all strung out. And then I reached in my bag and I went, oh, I got the dipole version of the transformer. Like, no, this is not going to work. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe I can hook up the end. It was like a nine, it was nine, nine to one, 9.5 to one. I'm like, there's no way. So after doing all that work, I was just like, forget it. So I put it all, I tucked my tail, put it all back in the bag. We all walked back to the truck, but I've got HF in the truck. And so the wife was like, hey, we need to water the dog. We need to kind of just recap. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to activate the park right here from the vehicle. And so I made like 8 contacts because every park that I tried to make contact with loved to talk. I don't like they would have a conversation like, oh, what antenna are you using? And like it's 15 minutes of like with every operator.
Oh, I love your YouTube channel, Eric. Great YouTube channel.
Nothing like that at all.
We all know.
Nope, I swear, Scott's honor here that I did not get a, hey, we know your YouTube channel. I got the, what antenna are you running? You know, oh, I'm running this and I'm running this power and I'm doing it here and on and on. So I even tried to like, figured I go try to try to make contact a park to park with a Joda setup because they were doing a park as well. The one thing that I couldn't get through was because there was a stupid lid on the channel going, this is N4TAT. I'm the big tit master. And like, he's talking over like all of these BSA, you know, guys that are all activating from this park. And I'm like, what an ass. Like there's no thought in my mind, like out of all people to pick on, the Boy Scouts, really, like, you know, during Support Your Parks weekend on a Sunday, you're willing to like talk over them like a lid. And so, you know, I ended up making 5, you know, park to parks and left it at that. But, you know, heck, I'll put them in the log and get the credit for it. But, you know, it was a failed activation, but yeah, whatever. It was fun.
Did you actually get to talk to any scouts?
No, I didn't, because I had that guy. I mean, he was coming 5'9" plus 10 over on me every time. And he'd be like, every time he'd go QRZ, and it was literally 3 call signs. So it was a BSA call sign. It was the 2 activators that were there that were running the station, and a /7 call. So I would have gotten 3 operators easily and put myself at 10. But, you know, what ended up happening was I had this guy talking over me. So like, I'm not going to spend the next 25 minutes trying to fight him because I don't have more than 100 watts.
Was he a real ham, or is it just some guy on a Baofeng messing with everything?
To be honest, well, it wouldn't have been on a Baofeng. He would have been on HF for sure. But, you know, he was definitely strong because he was like, this is N4TAT. I'm the big tit man. You know, I'm here to, you know, talk to the Boy Scouts. And like, then he would stop for a little while and then he'd spin back up again. I'm like, you're a jerk. You know, go was do something in my wife's list.
Was that his call sign?
I don't know. Probably not. I mean, you could look it up. TAT. That's what I came back to. I'd be surprised if it was.
Are you sure it's TAT and not TIT?
Yeah, no, it wasn't TIT. It was he was like, this is Texas Alpha Texas. And I'm like, oh, that's really weird. Why didn't you just use TIT instead? But anyway.
Yeah. You have a southern accent?
Sort of. He sounded like it. But this one says he's from Georgia, but I don't think he was from Georgia. But it could have been.
Donald Anderson.
Well, it's a bummer you didn't get to talk to scouts, because it was super cool that Support Your Parks weekend was also the same as Jamboree on the Air. I think I probably talked to 10 or 12 scouts.
Wow, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah,
all in the same
so the interesting thing is actually I didn't get any scouts in the States. I got all scouts in Europe.
Oh wow, dude, that's even better.
Yeah, like I was talking to scouts in the Netherlands. I was talking to scouts in Lithuania. Yeah, all over. It was cool.
That would have been cool to make contact with. Yeah, that's a bummer. So yeah. So outside of that, I had, you know, about eight contacts before I kind of, you know, tucked tail and said we're done. But, you know, still got the chance to play radio. Didn't do QRP. Learned a few things I need to change in my bag. But again, it was awesome to have radio all weekend. Like, that's very rare, except like when field day rolls around or, you know, that type of other thing. So it was good to see a lot of activity. And I mean, a lot of activity on the bands. It's crazy.
Yeah. Throw the Enfit half wave bug out mini in your bag.
Trust me, I'm going to. I already texted Matt and I said, dude, just send me another one. Send me another one. I'm not going to give this away to another ham who was looking for an antenna to get going. Because that's what I did, was I gave him my bug out mini and I gave him the silicon wire, not the really good wire. And, you know, so what I had left in the bag was the good wire, but the, you know, the dipole version of the transformer. Like, oh, man, why did I not check before I left?
Well, I'll tell you, I put that Reliance EnFed Halfwave through its paces. I beat the bag out of that thing every time I take it out. I'm abusive as all hell to it, and Yeah, well, I did find out that if you run FT8 at 100 watts for several hours, that toroid will heat up and it'll start making your SWR go crazy. You know, you just got to turn the power down a little bit. But sure. Yeah, what a great antenna.
I wish I could have.
Does it heat up on 100 watts on sideband? Not nearly as much, right?
No, we did a 2-hour activation on 100 watts, and like I don't even think that thing even, you know, had an issue whatsoever.
Yeah,
it's a great antenna.
Yep. Yeah. Cool. Well, you know, if you want, just if you're a listener and you want to get a good deal on that antenna, you can head over to his website and either use code N1JUR or Live Free and Ham to get 10% off and free shipping. So put that in the, you know, when the checkout goes by, and you can get yourself a good deal on that one. And tell Matt we sent you, and he'll treat you right for sure. He'll do it even if you don't. You know, simple as that. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's kind of get into the meat and potatoes of tonight. I mean, we got a lot to kind of chit chat about. This episode is obviously airing a little later, obviously in the, you know, time frame, if you're familiar with Porch Parks Weekend and when it landed. But, you know, we wanted to talk about it, share some of our thoughts, you know, share some of the excitement that we enjoyed over Porch Parks Weekend. It was really cool to see that many contacts that were out there. It made my heart warm that I was able to see, you know, and make contacts just alone. I could activate a park on, you know, park to parks. I mean, it was like, if you had no antenna on a dummy load, you probably could have activated the park on a dummy load. That's how good it was. So, all right. So yeah, let's talk a little about there. We'll start there. So Paul, you know, kind of summarize, you know, your highlights, what you thought was some of the good stuff that, you know, happened on Porch Parks Weekend, you know, things that, you know, you really, really, you know, give you some memories, and then we can talk about some of the things you want to improve on.
Well, all right. So, highlights, obviously the scouts, talking to the scouts was a huge highlight. And it was, you know, like I knew Jamboree on the Air was going on. So I was already prepped and excited to talk to these kids. Cause I love when they put kids on the radio, because that's the future. Yep. Right. And if we can get them at a young age, you know, 12 to 16 or whatever, you know, interested in ham radio, they're the future of this hobby. So, and even more so just the scouting mentality, you know, that always be prepared and, you know, no matter how dumb you feel in the moment, you know, you could figure it out, and you could learn, and you can grow, and you could become a better person for it. So I would say that was probably the biggest highlight of the weekend. You know, short of that, second best would have been, you know, I tend to be, my therapist gives me shit for this. I'm an isolationist. Go figure, mm-hmm. Right? Yep. You know. A troubled military veteran served in a combat zone. I don't like to be around a lot of people. However, I do very much enjoy the ham radio community. And so I would have been 100% content to just stay at my little campsite and just be by myself doing my thing. But Saturday night, John, KB1ICL, Tim, KD1QDK, and his wife, and brand new ham. He was at my September 14th test session.
Bill
Bordeaux, I believe is his last name. I can't remember his call sign.
Is it URG?
No. He's got a new call sign. So
I'll look it up.
Yeah. But anyways, they all came over to my campsite and they hung out. We had a fire, and I even shared my bottle of 14-year Glenlivet.
Nice.
So we partook a little bit and then some fine scotch and conversation as we sat around the fire. That was absolutely fantastic. I was really, really appreciative of all of them coming out to my campsite and hanging out with me.
That's very cool. Awesome. That's what it's all about right there. Totally. All right. And I'm actually just going through here. Yeah. Anyway, all right. I'll keep looking that up. Yeah, Cool. All right. Well, so any mishaps, obviously, before melting transformers on a, you know, a bug out mini there, nothing else, you know, outside of, we could talk a little bit about your, you know, sleeping situation, but, you know, anything kind of come out of that you'd want to improve on for next year?
So downsides of the weekend, the campsite was great. I was very ill prepared. By my own fault. Behind me through the woods, there was a large group of people from Massachusetts. And how do I know they were from Massachusetts? Because I could hear them all night talking about driving their car and, you know, telling some guy that, you know, he could get the fuck out of here. And it's like, dude, it's fucking 12:30 in the morning. I'm trying to get some sleep. I'm cold. I'm miserable. Like, just stop yelling in your goddamn Boston accent, kid. Like, and so the bathrooms were locked up. So they had they just had one port-a-john. And like, I mean, I got there fairly early on Friday. I don't know, all set up by like 3 p.m. And I went to use the port-a-john, and it was already so full of toilet paper and garbage. People were throwing dog poop bags in the port-a-john. Like, I mean, I'm telling no lies, right? If you would have sat down on the seat, you probably would have had the pile of toilet paper touching you. Like, it was just disgusting. So fortunately, you know, being a boy, right? Guess what? It gets dark. There's a spot behind my truck that worked perfect, you know? I think those are the only downsides, really. There was a lot of people around me that were from out of state. They were loud. They were obnoxious. They were like walking through other people's campsites. And the port-a-john was disgusting, but otherwise, yeah, it was a fantastic weekend.
Yeah, we'll have to mental note that one for next year and figure out what we want to do differently. But well, bummer that was. But it sounds like you guys. I saw the photos, and you guys had some really good.
Go the wall. Keep them out.
Put a giant toll booth at the state line and charge anybody coming north like $50 to go through the toll.
Just mass. Everyone else is welcome. The mask holes.
Yeah, no, Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont, we're all in sync. We're all compatico.
Yeah.
You heard it here. All right, well, so, cool. So, go ahead.
No, so all our fellow colleagues in Massachusetts are probably like, what are they trashing masks for? They know why.
Well, they do. I was once a mass hole, so, you know, I totally could sympathize with it and understand. Hey.
I lived in Massachusetts for 3 years. I lived in Marshfield and Scituate, and I couldn't wait to get out of there. You know, the gun laws are ridiculous. The taxes are ridiculous. Just in general, the rules are ridiculous. Mm-hmm. If I don't want to wear my seatbelt, don't pull me over for it. Like, I'm a grown man.
This is the 80-meter podcast tonight, folks.
Let me tell you about my hemorrhoids.
I know, right? All right. Well, so to shift gears back to a little bit of the younger crowd, so we, you know, don't lose that demographic here. So Paul, Todd, you obviously didn't have a chance to do Support Your Parks Weekend, but you've done some in the past, you know, anything you kind of want to add in terms of, you know, your experience with that stuff and, you know, one of the things that you kind of glean from it that you want to do better for the next sports parks you get a chance to attend?
Yeah, well, you just don't be a baseball coach and you should be all set.
So, there we go. Rule number one. So
that's the only reason.
Play softball.
Yeah, that's the only reason I wasn't there. I mean, it was our last two games and I'm the coach and I couldn't bail on the kids and it wouldn't have been right. And, you know, I'm glad I made the right choice and was there for the kids. And I've only got, I think this is my next year will be my last year of coaching. And then my son goes into middle school and high school and I won't be coaching him anymore. So I'm going to take advantage of the little time left I have. So in 2 years, I'll be all over it. I might even run the Support Your Parks weekend, because what else am I going to do? Yeah. But as doing a Support Your Parks weekend, like I said, the biggest thing is getting out and having fun and making contacts and, you know, the stuff that we're doing with our club, getting camping and all that kind of, that just builds camaraderie. It strengthens the club and it strengthens the community and you have a good time, you know, and that's what it's all about really. So, Paul, I'm glad that you, had the guys come over and hang out with you and it was comfortable and you were good to go with that. And like I said, I like hanging out with you. And it kind of makes me like, I wish I was there, you know, I should have just come up at night and hung out, but I didn't even think of that. But you know, it's awesome. And like I said, it's, you know, you don't even have to do it on support. I mean, POTA is a activity that you do anytime. And, you know, it's, I love doing it. I just, I wish I had more time to get out there. And, but I leave my radio in my car and anytime I get a chance or if I got to do a road trip and I scout out the parks on the way and figure out when I'm going to active, like, am I going to hit on the way back or to my appointment? Like, how early am I going to leave to get there? So,
you know, you're smitten.
Yeah. And, you know, and like I said, the Support Your Parks weekend, it's great that, I mean, this weekend, I'm so mad because with the scouts, the Jamboree thing going on and that, and then there was a couple of, contests, wasn't it the Vermont, New York contest or Vermont?
New York QSO party. Yep.
Yeah, New York Kiesel party. So there's a lot going on and
worked all Germany, Hellfest.
Yeah. And then there's like the whole 10 meters has been booming. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite band for POTA. I love 10 meters. I wish it was open all the time because I always start on 10 meters and see what I get. So, but I'm just glad everyone had a good time and I'm glad it was successful. And I just hope it keeps growing and more people are doing it. And I hope that we keep to do more of this camping stuff because I think that's kind of cool. And makes it even more fun.
Totally with you, man, on that one. I highly applaud you know, the pioneers get jumping in there and camping on you know, a weekend that actually turned out freaking phenomenal. Like, I was anticipating that this was going to be the coldest weekends and rain, and you know, like it always happens kind of when I, you know, sort of ground camp and whatnot. So it was super exciting to hear that, you know, everybody who set up there and, you know, braved, you know, the cold who did prepare with you know, buddy heaters and stuff.
Well, you know, if I was gonna camp, it would have been snowing and 20 below. That's just the way it is.
Was my fear too.
Is so exactly, just be glad I didn't show up, because you know, you thought you were cold, it would have been even worse. So you would have been wet and cold. Yeah but you know what, you know what I was thinking last year, Eric and I did a rove in for parks. And we did it like the end of October, beginning of November, I think. Yep. And I looked at the weather forecast today. Tomorrow's going to be 76 degrees.
I know, dude. I know.
And you know what?
We have to take another day off from work, dude. So we got to do it on Friday.
I know, but I can't take – I was like, if I didn't have what I have going on tomorrow at work, I would have taken Monday off to go do another one. Because this is the day. Like,
come on, Todd.
Yeah,
practice with me.
No, I can't. It's it's not going to happen. But
I've got three people lined up to do that 10 park row where we do on both ends and work this way to the middle. So I know. Figure out what it's going to take and let's make it happen.
Yeah, I've got a big project thing coming up and I can't miss it. So it's unfortunate, but obviously, you guys are going to hear this way after October 21st, but October 21st, it's going to be beautiful out up here in New Hampshire, and take advantage of it. Get out and do a park. I'm bringing my radio tomorrow. I got my battery charged, and if I can find an hour, I'm going.
So, 30 minutes is all you really need, man. Yeah, 30 minutes. The bands are that
good. I like the hour, though, because I get into it, and so we'll see.
You can't say no. You can't go QRT if it tried to, you know, if there was a gun to your head.
I like to get every, that's one thing that's good about, like, if you work me at POTA, like, if you're there and you're patient enough, if I'm going to pile up, you just keep calling. I'm not going to quit until I get everyone, until the radio goes dead. So,
no ham left behind with Todd.
Yeah, that's the way I roll. So, you know, this guy, you know, N1JUR, you know, he doesn't care. He's like, we're closing it down now. And there's like 10 guys I can hear.
Come on, the guy to my left turns the knob off. Like I've just let the volume stay at this level that we were at and say QRT and then walk away. He shuts it off totally. It's like there's no way people are getting through.
Yeah.
No, because if I hear it, I'll stay.
You're right. You just pull the plug. That's it.
Right.
So yeah.
Totally right.
So yeah, when I'm out there doing POTA, you know, try to work me and be patient, because I will get to you if I can hear you, and I won't quit until it's done.
Well, try and get me tomorrow, Todd, because it's going to be my first summit.
All right. Well, okay. So let's, good segue there. We might as well talk about that, and we'll go back to the jump a little bit after. But sorry, you let the cat out of the bag. What's going on with the summit deal? You know, we'll make sure we get it on the socials for, you know, when it actually happens. So if you get a chance, you can work Paul. But go ahead. Talk to us. What's going on?
All right. So, well, to begin, this year was a bucket list year. I was trying to knock things off the bucket list. Skydiving being one of them. Mount Washington being the other. Right. I didn't get to Mount Washington. But I so New Hampshire has 48 4,000 foot peaks, which is fantastic for someone that's on the air. And so I said, well, before I do Mount Washington, I want to work my way up to it and go through the 48, the first one being Mount Tecumseh. And so I had scheduled it and scheduled it and scheduled it and scheduled it, and the weather just kept not cooperating. And so last month, my wife's best friend said, hey, listen, I've always wanted to hike a mountain. And so if you've got a good one, I'll go with you. And I said, okay, as long as you don't mind that I play radio at the peak. And she said, yeah, absolutely. No problem whatsoever. Like, take your time, do what you got to do. So tomorrow I'm getting up at 6 a.m. I'm going to pick her up at 7:30, and we're going to drive to Waterville Valley, which is the base of the trailhead for Mount Tecumseh. Mm-hmm. It's, I believe it's 9 miles round trip, or just shy of 9 miles round trip. So yeah, so I'm going to throw the 891 and
can't take my, the chairlift up.
Yeah, no, there's no chairlift. but I'm going to take the Gigaparts Explorer bag. And I'll put the 891 and the NFED half wave in there and just go nice and simple. And once I get to the top, I don't know, we'll see what happens.
You bring an HT with you too?
Yeah, I'll bring an HT2. I'll try and make some 5.2 contacts. But
what band are you gonna, you think you're gonna activate on?
I'd probably start with 10. That's what I always do. You know, see what's there anyway. If I don't hear a lot of activity on 10, I'll just go to 20 and try and bang out 10.
Now, is the top of this mountain, is that a park or is it just a summit?
No, it's just a summit.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll be looking for you. If I'm not at a park.
It's supposed to be absolutely beautiful. So, hey, yeah. I mean, even if you're at the park, right? We do a park to a summit.
Yeah.
That's cool.
If I'm not, I'll pull you up on my... on my flex, well,
he'll hit the RBN, I'm sure, either way. I mean, I'm sure somebody will hit him on the soda page. So.
Yeah.
Are you got registered account with Soda yet or no?
Yep. I'm all set up. I don't know how to submit my logs yet, but I'll figure that out after.
The logs are the easy part. You got to get up to the mountain and spot yourself first, which shouldn't be terribly that hard, especially even if you're like on 5.2. Like I watch Red Summit RF, and he'll do like a hike in the morning to like a summit peak in Arizona and like not even spot himself and literally have like 5 contacts on 5.2, you know, with a bunch of other guys who are already doing summits. So I'm sure you'll probably run at least in 1 or 2 up there. So that'd be good. Man. Oh, now my bucket list is starting to kick me in the ass. Thanks, man. Now, that was on my list.
Is your bucket list to do all 48 of them?
Yeah, all 48.
Oh, okay. I might join you on 1 or 2 maybe if I can. Yeah, get some.
You know, they like, I've seen things like they have like a plaque of New Hampshire, and then it has like the 48 things, and you like stick a pin. There's some, I've seen them like up in the North Country that people buy, and then they, as they work them off, they, you know, they add a like a label or something to it. Right. But that's quite like the accomplishment. Yeah, that's quite the accomplishment. Is Pac-Man Adnack, that's not 4,000 feet, is it?
No,
it's smaller, but it's still it's a rough hike. It's straight up a lot and very rocky most of that way up, but it's still a tough one.
Yeah. I did Mount Washington before, maybe my younger years, obviously. And I did
you hike Tuckerman's?
Mm-hmm. And then I, what is the other one I did? What's the other big one that's up there? It's got a better view than Mount Washington up by, it's kind of near
Adams.
Cannon.
Adams, no, or Madison?
No. No, it's across from, it's kind of across from Cannon Mountain through the notch. It's to the right of the
Owl's Nest, maybe.
Huh? No. No, no, the notch in going up 93 where can at the end is Cannon Mountain. What was the name of that? No. I don't know. I can't think of it, but it was it's like this. I think it's the second highest one, but it's got a much better view than Mount Washington.
You said it's off Cannon?
Yeah, it's like in that well, it's not so Cannon Mountain's on the left, it's like to the right of Cannon. It's not like right there, but if you're like looking at it. But it's that's a nice that's a hard hike, but it's when you get to the top, it's just beautiful. I mean, it's phenomenal.
Miter's Hill, or can't see the other one. Can't see the other one on the map here. Can you zoom in? I'll have to keep looking because I can't. This map is not letting me zoom in. But
yeah. Anyway, so yeah, it was fun. And when I did, I was in first time I did Mount Washington. I was in. Senior in high school, my buddy was in college, went to school in Vermont. We were both runners and running distance, and we used to mountain bike and stuff. So we went up to his school. We camped on two hammocks, one on top of each other, and he freaking fell asleep eating like a granola bar. And I hear this like middle of the night, I hear this like, trat, 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 and I look like below me, this big fucking raccoon's on his fucking gut eating his granola bar. He was out like a light. I was like, what the hell? So we left that. He went to Castleman State. We left that and headed out to Mount Washington, and we decided to hike up. And I freaking wore my sneakers and shorts and a t-shirt and a windbreaker and a little backpack. And it was like August, right? Like, you're like, eh, I'm dumb, young. So we start hiking up there, and I get to the point where the trees are like this big, right? A little bigger, but you're almost like losing the tree line. All of a sudden, this cloud comes over, and I should have died. Cloud comes through. It starts pouring, hailing, snowing. Water is flowing over me like a raging river, and I'm grabbing onto the stupid little pine tree, like, for dear life. Like, I literally think I'm going to die. All of a sudden, it clears up. Cloud clears away, and we stand up, and we are literally 100 feet from this mid cabin shelter, like literally 100 feet. That's it. So we went through the storm, and we get in there, and I see this truck, and I'm like, "How they get a truck? They must have helicoptered it up here, not knowing you could drive up this stupid mountain." So we get some. We got some like something to drink. We kind of dried off a little bit, and we said, "All right, we got a little bit more to go." So we head up again, and then we get up there, and I get over the peak, and I see a parking lot with all these tourists and cars, and I'm like, "You could have driven up this thing? Are you kidding me?" So that was my first Mount Washington experience. It was quite the it was cool though when you got up there. I like to say that you did it, but I don't know if I could do it now. It'd be pretty hard. And I sure as hell wouldn't do it in my running shoes and a windbreaker.
So according to the book, which is Climbing New Hampshire's 48 4,000 footers, Cannon Mountain, you've got Mount Musilake, and you've got North and South Kinsman with a spur to Bald.
What's the second highest one?
Give me a second. I'll find it.
I think it's the second highest one. Can't believe I can't think of the name of it.
So Musilake's 4,800.
Adams.
Is it Adams? Yeah, Adams. Yep.
That's the second one. It's not.
I thought it was Adams or Madison, but yeah.
So they've got, it goes Mount Adams, Madison, Jefferson, Monroe, Clay, Eisenhower, and then the Dome.
Yeah, it's all the presidentials.
Yep. I don't know which one it was. It was a long time ago, but it was,
yeah,
it
I
was
did fun. Katahdin at Boy Scouts, but yeah, I don't think I could do Katahdin now.
You know what else is crazy is I've seen guys, I've driven up there, and I've seen guys rock climbing off that face right before Cannon Mountain, where the old man in the mountain was. And I had brought my binoculars one time because you can always see, like, if they're wearing red, or you can see the little dots up there. And there's guys that free climb that with no ropes. Like, that's insane.
That is insane.
I've seen a guy up there, like, literally, I looked and he's got no ropes and he's free climbing. And he's halfway up. Like, he's got to either go up or down to get back to safety.
Yeah, well, yeah. Up, and then if he decides to go the other down, he's done. But yeah.
Yeah. You're right.
Wow.
But
well, dude, yeah. That's awesome. I applaud you, and I thank you for, you know, stepping up in the gap for Todd and I, because we both said we wanted to do hiking, but we both slackers.
So are you bringing Watson with you?
Yeah.
Does he know you're planning to do all these hikes?
You cleared like, it with him yet?
Consulted with him yet?
Watson is just happy to go wherever I go, so it's all good.
Well, except out of the airplane.
So, you making it a video montage too? You're going to be showing it on the channel?
Yeah, well, so, a certain somebody hooked me up with a GoPro that I'll eventually pay them for in March.
Oh, don't worry
about it. Yeah, I'm definitely, I'll take the GoPro and I'll film at least, you know, the hike up and at the peak.
Cool. Yeah. I would love to see the peak stuff. That'd be awesome. The hike part, I don't want to see, because that just means I'm going to have to suffer through it too as well if I decide to go with you next time. I've got all the, I think I have most all the stuff and the right gear, but like, yeah, my daughter and I did backpacking a little while, like 2 years ago during COVID, when it was like great to go out and do trails because nobody was around. But yeah, I got to get my, you know, feet back underneath me, because I know I probably do that 4,000 footer and my calves would be burning and my legs would be blistered and I probably would be suffering on the way down. They'd have to airlift me out, I'm sure.
Well, you've already got the perfect radio for it.
I do. And if I knew you were going, I would have let you have it just so you could have lightened your load a little bit. But, you know, hey, you threw this at this last minute. So, you know, hey, you know, if you want to, I'll leave it on the, you know, in my bed of my truck. If you want to swing by the house in the morning and pick it up, totally up to you. You let me know. Now,
that's all right. I'll, because it's last minute, I'll stick with what I've got, because it's what I know and it's what I'm already set.
It was Lafayette.
Ah,
that was the one I hiked. Lafayette. Nice. That one has the better view than Mount Washington. It's not a
sigh,
though. Well,
okay. So, cool. So, we got something looking forward to. I'm definitely excited to see how your backpacking adventure goes and your, you know, what life lessons you can gain from it that you can share with us and hopefully make our loads a little easier. So, all right. Well,
they say it's an easy hike.
Yeah. If you're a hiker.
Is it an easy one? Paul, is it easy?
It's easy, if it's easy for the 4,000 footers. You're used to hiking.
Yeah. Because it's like, oh, easy. And then you go to like isolation, that's difficult.
By easy, they mean there's no rock scrambles and like sheer cliff faces that you got to, you know, scale. And yeah.
Still
that's what they mean by easy.
Well, so when I did Mount Washington, like I had no idea what I was even hiking up. We're just going to go up Mount Washington. And as you get up there, there's like points where like you're literally, it's like logs, like a ladder, like it's built into the trail over rocks to climb up.
And you know, once you get past the tree line, the weather can change on you in a moment.
Oh yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yep.
So I remember that being like, that wasn't just like, you're just taking a stroll. Like you had to like actually climb and then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, Mount Washington is currently closed because it's too dangerous.
Yeah, there's snow up there already.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what's crazy is, like, when I was in Big Bear in California, right, there's a whole town, you know, towns up there. They're at, like, 10,000 feet. It's like double Mount Washington. But it doesn't look like it's a big mountain. But going up, you can tell, like, we left, like, palm trees, and halfway up it was snowing. Like, it's crazy. Like, it's I don't know if you've ever been out to Big Bear in California. It's at like 10,000 feet. And it's like double, almost, it's just under double Mount Washington. And you get up there, you can't breathe. It's like, you can tell the air is thin. And then I look at Mount Washington, I'm like, oh, it's the highest peak on the East Coast. And I'm like, it's only 6,000 feet. Like, what the, like, kidding me?
Well, dude, 6,000 feet can change, yeah, drastically. I know we took.
But it's got the worst. It's got the worst weather and the highest wind speeds in the world ever. So,
yep.
It might only be 6,000 feet, but it packs heck of a punch.
And it does, man. Cool. All right. Well, let's. We could go crazy with this, but we want to say this for a later episode because we know if Paul, we can live vicariously through Paul, then you know we can learn a few things, I'm sure, and maybe pass that on knowledge on to our listeners who think that they could you know conquer the world at 50, because I'm probably one of them. So let's get into the big thing. We obviously haven't talked about this in the past couple episodes, but we want to just touch on it and you know so we can kind of. Put some closure to it. But so if you haven't paid attention, you've been under a rock. Paul finally did it. He finally landed. He finally made the leap. So let's talk about kind of your overall experience with it. We obviously know where you're going with it future wise. We'll talk more about how you can support Paul in that sense. But share your firsthand experience with us, you know, jumping from the proverbial, working plane.
So, absolutely amazing. It happened to be that it was a perfect day, hardly a cloud in the sky. Weather was great, temperature was great. There was not a ton of wind. Plane went up to 10,500 feet. And that's where the green light came on and door opened. And so there was one other tandem with me, and she was with her instructor in front of me sitting on the plane floor, and the door opened and she kind of looked out and you could see it in her face. She kind of like pulled back a little. And so the instructor just scoots her right over to the door and she's like, Nope. And yeah. He just pushes and goes. And I'm like, all right, now it's my turn. And so my instructor kind of like scoots me forward a little bit. So I'm attached to a fucking man, right? Mm-hmm. Like, all right,
you're the little spoon. Scooting.
And I didn't realize that I wasn't supposed to grab the little bar above the door. And so I grabbed the bar above the door just to kind of get myself situated, because he told me, he said, listen, he said, the way this is going to go is we're going to scoot to the door and you're going to sit and hang your feet down under the plane, keep your feet together, hang them down under the plane. And he said, you know, chin up, arch your back and just hold on to the straps. And so
hold up for dear life.
I'm holding on. I'm trying to look down and keep my chin up, right? And I'm like, "Woo, that's a long way." And I feel him kind of push out a little, and I feel him pull back, and I'm like, "All right, this is it." And out the door we went, and we did a little somersault little thing there, and it was amazing. It was like, "Holy shit, there's the ground." Nope, there's the sky. Nope, there's the ground. And he taps me on my shoulder, and that was my cue to let go and to put my arms out. Mm-hmm. And the greatest feeling in the world. So, like, I love roller coasters and anything that will get your adrenaline pumping. And I was expecting kind of a roller coaster drop feel. Mm. There's none of that. Like, you go out. And you don't feel like you're falling. Like, I mean, you watch the plane and you're like, well, no, I know I'm falling. I don't feel like I'm falling. And so I'm like, oh my God, I'm flying. I'm flying. This is fucking amazing. And I'm yelling, I'm hooting and hollering, and I'm like, woo.
Yep.
So I got all the pictures. I got the video now. And like,
let's stop there for a second. Being on the ground, we're like looking for Paul up in the sky because he went up in an orange, like, you know, hoodie. So we're like, he should be able to stick out at 10,000 feet. You cannot see anything except the parachute canopy. And so we're like, we should have asked what color his parachute canopy was. And so I turned to his wife. I'm like, have you seen him? She's like, no, I can't see him. And I'm like, she's like, do you see him? I'm like, no. And we're like bouncing back and forth. And all of a sudden we hear, woohoo! Woohoo! Everyone's like, I'm flying! And I'm like, oh, that's Paul. And then finally his orange sweatshirt finally comes into view. But anyway, go on.
Yeah, so half the pictures are me with just my mouth wide open, eyes bugged out, like, ah! It was absolutely amazing. It was over way too fast. But the instructor let me fly the chute, which was really cool. You know, you just grab the chute handles. I think they're called toggles. And, you know, you pull down on the right. And you turn right, you pull down to the left, you turn left. And if you pull hard, like, I mean, you turn tight and hard and fast, and what a rush. Like, I'm like, yeah, let's go. Let's go. And then he's like, all right, give it back to me. Cause we were, I think he gave me the parachute controls at about 3,500 feet.
Yep. The crowd's coming
by the
back.
Time by the time we were at, like, I don't know, about 2,000 feet, he was like, all right, give it back.
He's like, no.
he did a great job though of, like, steering us, you know, with the wind and getting us into the correct landing position. And now I had watched some videos, and the videos were like, well, that last, like, 500 feet or so, you feel like the ground is rushing up at you, and it kind of sets panic in people. Dude, I didn't feel that at all. Everything was smooth. It everything looked good. It felt good. And yeah, he brought us in. He goes, all right, legs up. So I grabbed my pants and I pulled my legs up as high as I could. And he just glided us right down perfectly. We're so smooth. Just slide to a stop on your ass, and the parachute comes down in front. Yeah. I can't wait to get
first class pickup. I mean, they literally pick you up by golf cart. You didn't have to walk at all. Yeah. Like, I was like, wow, this is sweet. This is like first concierge service.
do they do that golf cart for everyone or just the tandem jumps?
No, I think they did it for everybody, because so when we were watching after Eric had left, there was that last group that went up. The guy went out and he was collecting up those people too.
Probably just because of the parachutes and stuff, and
yeah,
it's probably a pain to
be a weight carrying.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, like, they just kind of gathered their parachute up and then they sat in the back of the golf cart, you know.
Yeah.
My instructor, he didn't waste a beat. Like, we were on the ground, and he gathered up his chute, and he got in the cart with me. I sat in the front. He was in the back. And we go back to the little hangar area. He just drops his shit, grabs another chute, and he's like, all right, I'm ready for the next one. And off he goes. Wow. I was like, I want to do that.
He just dropped his old chute and just grabbed a new one and threw it on his back.
Here is a check with my name on it. Write down any number on this piece of paper and I will pay it.
That's awesome.
That is where we're going, folks, here.
So okay. I guess to get my A license, so the first 7 jumps, I can do the advanced free fall course. And it's about $650. Covers your first 7 jumps. But you got to get 25 jumps to get your A license. And until you get your A license, each jump is like $240.
Wow.
And that's gear and everything included, right?
Can you do that course twice? Get 14, do it 3 times. It might be cheaper. You get 7. Well, no, if he's, it's $600 for 7 jumps, that's cheaper than $200 a jump. Keep doing the same course. You might be able to do that.
But once you get the A license, so every jump after that is only $30. Plus, you know, whatever gear rental is, $50 or whatever. So, you know, I mean, I would much rather do that. But it's getting the A license.
Who packs the chutes? Those guys there or?
Yeah, well, the ones that you rent, they're packed by them.
Now, if you own a chute, obviously they teach you how to pack the chute and stuff, because I'm sure there's a special way to do it.
I would certainly hope so. I mean, I watched a video where Carlos did it, but I don't think he did it in real time. I think it was sped up a little bit.
Yeah,
it's not like how you pack laundry in a laundry bag and carry it in there.
Okay, that's awesome, so, man. It was really cool.
So Todd, I mean, obviously you alluded to his like, we'll say Joker-like smile when he hit the ground and was like, you know, grinning ear to ear. I was witness to that. I think Carlos obviously saw that once he was on live stream. And let me apologize in advance, because stupid technology got in the way of ruining this great moment. Because for whatever reason, the damn live stream cut out like right as he's out of the plane. And everyone's like, I can't see it. I'm like, oh, man, this is the worst time. It could have cut out any other time. And all you see is Paul finally on the ground. It's like, no, he actually did jump, guys. We're here to say he did jump. we have three witnesses. We're good. You know, no problem there.
Yep. Look at those pictures.
For real.
All right. Well, dude, I am super excited for you. I'm sad at the same time, because I know the long road is going to cost you to get to your nirvana, we'll say. I know, dude. If those that are not on, that are listening to the podcast, we'll make sure we have a link to Paul's video when he finally puts it together. You can go over to that and check it out if you don't already catch the when he releases it on a premiere. Because he should definitely, because I guarantee people will be talking about it under the sun all the time. It would be awesome. But yeah, great pictures. These are like firsthand, like GoPro shots from the wrist. And it's like, as Todd's alluding to this, this is the phenomenal shots. You just can't make these up. Wow, that one's awesome. Oh, dude. One.
Now, I'd like to see the pictures of the woman that went before you. That it's like, no, I'm not going.
I know. Those must be laughed at when they're sitting around the bar having a beer after.
Oh, I imagine there's gotta be a large majority of people that, like, once they get to the door, don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the instructors gotta have an inner circle where they just chuckle about all those people.
Yep. Yeah, on a private Instagram or something.
when you were coming down, was the strap that you were, was it like pulling on you, or did you feel just like connected to him?
No, so it was interesting, right? I didn't even know that he pulled the chute until, right, I felt that lift. Mm-hmm. But because of the full harness, like there was three straps across my chest and then, you know, around my legs, like I felt very, very secure, and there was no, there's no pinch points or anything like climbing harnesses and that stuff.
Right.
It was a really, really comfortable harness to wear.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. They even did in the plane shots. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, this video is going
to
be awesome. Oh,
that's right. When you're getting about to go out. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, these are going to be when
you were sitting there at the door and like you're at the edge, did you feel like the plane, like the movement of the, like the wind blasting you?
Oh, 100%. Once that door opened, like the wind is ripping. And then when I'm sitting on the edge, right, it, like you're getting blasted with wind. And so it's just like, no, all right, I'm trying to keep my head up and do what I'm supposed to do. But you're getting pelted with wind. And it's like, man, this wind's going to freaking take me out.
Now, why do they want your head up? Is there a, they don't want you to look down?
No, it actually has to do with breathing. It's easier to breathe if you pick your head up, because the wind coming up at you, you kind of get your, right, your mouth and your nose out of the wind.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just put your face down, you're not going to be able to breathe, because the wind's going to like kind of take your breath away from you.
Right. Hmm.
Interesting.
That's awesome.
Now it explains why Carlos constantly says he's got a face shield on, because if you're like with your mouth wide open, I can imagine how much like saliva and spit and snot and everything is like hitting the back of him on a tandem jump. That would be like 100% why I'd be wearing a face shield too.
Yeah, well, and I mean, Carlos will tell you the story, but he said that he'll never tandem without a face shield after the lady that was just getting over a cold.
Yep.
And left so much snot on his visor that he could barely see. But so I mean, for those that can see the pictures, the instructor jumped, and during the free fall, he had his shield on, and then once the chute opened, he put his shield up, and like we were talking back and forth, and at one point, I believe that I shouted, "The only thing that would make this better is a radio in my hand."
It's coming, folks. It's coming. We'll make sure that we announce that way ahead. So those who want to make contact with both Carlos and Paul, then yeah, it will happen for sure. It'll be fun.
Well, you know what's great too is so Carlos's call sign is Kilo Niner Oscar Lima, and mine is November 1 Oscar Golf.
I know, easy. That'll be no problem. Awesome. Well, okay, dude. So you're obviously smitten. You're already thinking of how you can remortgage the house and, you know, sell a few boats to make this happen, maybe. So,
dude, if I got to sell my boat to make it happen, I'll do it.
Yep. There you go. Well, so Todd and I were talking offline. I mean, he was mentioning how we should do some, you know, GoFundMes and stuff. So we're kind of thinking about that in the background there. So keep an eye out that if you want to help Paul, you know, reach that goal of getting his AFF and, you know, being able to jump solo and do that with Carlos, and we can get Carlos down here, that would be, you know, a phenomenal time and a great, great experience for all of us, even those that are on the ground, you know, to watch and be part of. So yeah, we'll mention more about that. We'll share some of those details once we iron those all out. But so bottom line is you are hooked. You know, you're not going to ever, you know, say skydiving's not for me. you're good, right?
Oh, no, 100%. I'm in this for the long haul. I can't wait to just do this all the time.
Cool. Oh, very good. It looks like your video froze there a little bit there, my friend. There we go. Yeah, you caught up. It was kind of like the when you landed on the ground, your face was like 100% smile. Yeah. It was perfect. All right. Well, so yeah, we got a little long here tonight, but dude, this was a great show. It was good to catch up and talk about some awesome stuff over the weekend, both ham radio and ham radio adjacent, you know, so it's all good stuff. And we appreciate you tagging along with us as always. And so any kind of last bit of things you want to just throw out there to kind of wrap the show up before we put some clothes to this stuff?
Well, so I just want to thank everybody that was patient and stuck with us through all of the reschedulings and all of the frustrating aspects of getting that first jump done. It was so worth it. And I thank everybody that was a part of it and supported me through it. And I look forward to many, many more jumps and hopefully, you know, everybody that's supported us so far will continue to do so and they'll watch the videos.
Definitely. Anything you got to want to throw in there, Todd?
No, I'm just really pissed. I didn't get to see it actually happen. I only got the end of it, but, I was there in spirit and I got to see you when you came back. So that was cool. But it's awesome. Like I said, I'm so glad you got to do that. You know, got your bucket list. I mean, that's a big one. And now you're going to continue on. And, you know, when you're jumping, I hope to be there because I'll hang out. Like, I'm like, it was fun just watching all the other people jump. I'm like, this could be a good, like, Saturday afternoon activity. Bring a lounge chair and a couple beers and just watch you guys jump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you on that. We'll throw off the barbecue there and, you know, make a whole day.
We could do a special event, you know, a ham radio special event. Paul jumps 5 jumps in one day.
Right? If you didn't get him the first 5-2, we'll do a 5-2 again. Yeah. He'll keep going until you get contact.
Do a fundraiser. You're like, we're doing a fundraiser. Donate to
just keep like, support just his jumps keep, and keep, you can make a contact.
Venmoing the pepperell skydiving. Boop. Here's another one. He gets another one. Yep. We got another one as you're coming down.
Okay, so you
like, oh, a 70 centimeter jump. Okay. Yeah. Let's go.
it's a pay to play type thing, right? You know, basically, hey, you want a contact, you know, you got to send the money in, you know, we'll make sure we arrange that.
We're not putting you in the log unless you pay up.
Very cool.
All right, guys, it was awesome.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. I'm with you on that. I'm so glad it finally happened and I'm very honored to be part of it and see it from beginning to end, although it was way too quick, like you said. But looking forward to seeing a lot more in the future, especially, you know, with us hanging out and more so just, you know, you going through the journey of, you know, doing something you love on top of, you know, ham radio as well. So, all right. Well, so with that, let's kind of put some ending to this. So, you know, if you've, you know, been part of the ham radio, you know, Live Free and Ham podcast community, we appreciate you hanging out with us. We enjoy everybody who's subscribed to our YouTube channel and is a part of our podcast as a sub. And if you haven't, you know, we're going to say, why not? Like, I mean, you're missing out on some awesome stuff, dude. You know, we're going to be doing some really cool things in, you know, coming year. So, you know, if you want to be part of that and you want to come hang out with us, you know, we're going to be doing some meetups and fun, you know, activities. So you get a chance to hang out with us. As always, you know, hey, in order to do stuff like that, you obviously, you know, we need the support, but you can always connect with us before you do that. Just so you know, well, you know, you're on the in and you're in with us. You know, you can head to our shop, and visit us at lipgreenham.com/shop. Buy the t-shirt that says Paul will jump someday. And then if you do, we'll throw in the, you know, the next phase of the shirt, Paul did jump, and you'll get that for free. So, you know, if you buy that shirt, we'll keep it in the shop for the next, you know, month or so. And if you buy that shirt, then we'll, you know, give you a discount so you can buy the He Jumped too as well. And that'll be in the shop for a limited time. We also alluded to in the past episodes that we're working on a limited run of the whiskey glass for Live Free and Ham. So keep an eye out for that. That'll be coming soon. So we're excited about getting that launched. And as always, you know, you can always send us a review. We want you to send us a review. Todd has said it at the beginning of the show. We say it every show. Send us your good, bad, and ugly reviews. Use the SMS link or send us an email at liftfreeandham@gmail.com. Let us know that you listen and how much you like listening. And you can always support our show because we're going to actually have to support Paul's habit with jumping now as an expense. But we love that habit as an expense, so it'll be fun. And you can do that via our Patreon and buy us a beer links. And those are all located in our show notes and on our website. And as always, you can reach any one of us by heading over to livefreeandham.com. And thanks again for listening. We really, truly appreciate it. We thank all of our listeners. And we love doing the show because you guys like listening to us. So thank you again. And we appreciate it. And with that, from all of us at Live Free and Ham, 7-3, guys.
7-3.
7-3.